You're listening to Connecting Faith, and during this past hour, we've been talking about what it means to become great in God's eyes. Hearing from David Chadwick, well, we have another pastor to offer some additional insights, because there is a key to everything that unlocks the secret to why some people succeed and others don't. Matt Keller, pastor, author, speaker, and leadership coach, provides the key to everything.
Of course, with a title like The Key to Everything, everybody wants to know. First question I'm always asking in interviews or whenever I speak is, okay, hotshot, well, what is it? If you really think you know what the key to everything is, what is it? And the answer to that is, as you said, we're not gonna hide the punchline here any longer than we have to. The answer is teachability. Teachability, the willingness to be teachable in our life. That I really, truly do believe that that is the key to everything. And here's what I know. The book is written for every single person who wants to be more successful, if you will. Again, however we define success, who wants to get better in any area of their life. That's who the book, The Key to Everything, is written for, because we all have areas of our life that we want to see get better. And I believe the key to that is teachability.
You know, I'm sure we can all relate to the subtitle, and maybe bosses or like you as a pastor or a leader, a trainer, or even parents. You know, we wonder once in a while why. I mean, why do some people succeed and others don't? So talk about how you maybe had to drill down. Did you have to drill down a long ways to consider teachability as the difference maker?
Yeah, you know, teachability, I mentioned this in the introduction of the book, teachability for me, you know, that desire to learn, so to speak, has kind of been a lifetime trait for me, that is something that defines our organization. The pastor, the church that I pastor, Next Level Church here in Southwest Florida. And so everything we do in terms of leadership development, you know, everything we do with coaching other pastors and churches, working in businesses and coaching and consulting them is, you know, it really comes down to, are you teachable? And, you know, so that's kind of been a life theme for me. And it's only been, though, in the last 5, 6, 7 years, really, that I've been able to really isolate and say, that's the key. And the way we define teachability is with two words. I talk about a desire to learn multiplied by our willingness to change. Desire to learn times willingness to change equals our index, if you will, of teachability. In other words, how teachable we're going to be in any area of our life. So I'll use myself as an illustration. You know, that if I, as a public speaker, if I have a desire to learn to get better as a communicator, but my willingness to change is not very good. So let's say my desire is a 6 out of 10, but my willingness to change is a 2 out of 10. Well, then my teachability is only going to be a 12, 6 times 2 on a scale of 100. Well, I'm not going to be very successful then in getting better as a public speaker. But if my desire goes up to an 8 and my willingness to change goes up to an 8, now all of a sudden my 12 becomes a 64. Well, that person is going to be way more successful at being a public speaker and getting better over the long term than someone whose teachability is only a 12.
Say a word about how fear and teachability are related.
Yeah, you know, fear is a roadblock to teachability because it can cause us to withdraw. When we're afraid, you know, the fear of losing control, the fear of being, you know, seen as a fake, you know, things like that, the fear of things not turning out right, the fear of making a mistake, the fear of failure, all of those types of fears really are roadblocks to teachability in our life, because they cause us to balk, to pull away, rather than leaning into scenarios that could stretch us and teach us something new in our life.
You know, along with fear, I know, and this is, I guess, more the second half of the book, but you talk about, you know, how to learn through failure. But I'm thinking, you know, fear is often maybe associated with setbacks or failures, and so we feel maybe we're justified, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, fear can rob us of our confidence. And it really takes, you know, us pushing past insecurity, pushing past those fears and that lack of confidence to say, you know what, God wants me to become more. God has more for me, and I need to step into that. And so that's why, you know, fear can keep us from living a lifestyle of teachability.
You know, as we talked about some of those key roadblocks, and using King Saul's example, and pride is the first one. Well, the opposite of pride, I guess, would be the humility. But so talk about do we need to feel or admit that maybe we're incapable or maybe even unworthy? I mean, how do we wrestle humility into the conversation?
You know, without a doubt. I mean, yes, if the opposite of pride is humility, then you know, we've got to build in the characteristic of humility into our lives in order to become more teachable and in order to, you know, become more and get better in our life and become more successful. And so humility is a big deal. How do we build that in? I mean, I think some of it starts with not taking ourselves too seriously at times. Sometimes I think we can, you know, psych ourselves out of some pretty great opportunities. Some of it, I think, in terms of humility is seeing ourselves accurately as a son or daughter of God. I think those, you know, those are components that really matter to the humility conversation.
Are these, as you talk about these characteristics and principles, are these some that you have kind of worked through and seen success in some areas and then sort of failure in others and realize that, you know, maybe I'm teachable in one area but not another? I mean, does that happen? You can be sort of open in some areas but not in others?
Oh, without a doubt, yes. That's a great point, you know, that throughout our lives, I think, from season to season, from year to year, if you will, from area to area, I think our teachability can vary. So someone may be extremely teachable at work, and, you know, if they take a new job and they're sitting under a new boss or they just join a company that they've always dreamed to work for, well, their teachability might be sky high. Their desire to learn and their willingness to change, you know, and get better is sky high at work. But then they go home to their spouse that they've been married to for 27 years, and teachability can go down quite a bit at that point at home, you know, and all of a sudden they find themselves, you know, going, I don't want to change that. And I don't, you know, heaven forbid my spouse would ever, you know, help me, you know, have some suggestion as to how I could be better when we're at parties or in public, or how I could do better to serve her or serve our family better. You know, so I think it depends on area to area and season to season. Again, you can feel like you got it knocked out of the park in some area of your life for an extended season. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, the season changes and you go, oh, wow, like I'm going to have to up my teachability again in order to be successful at this new level or at this new opportunity.
One of the areas you address, you're talking roadblocks to teachability. I think you mentioned pride, fear, insecurity, pain. But the other one you mentioned is pace. And I wrote down the note. You talked about teachability growing in the margins. Say a word about pace and where teachability grows best.
Sure. Well, what's interesting when I teach these, and I've been teaching these, of course, for several years, you know, is every time I talk about the roadblocks of teachability, pride and fear and insecurity and pain, you know, those are kind of real gritty, like deep sort of, you know, tough to chew on topics of like, you know, pride and fear, right? But then I get to this pace thing, an unhealthy or unsustainable pace, and everybody kind of looks at me the same and goes, what? Do you mean that my calendar's too full and somehow that can hold me back in my life? And, you know, it certainly can be a roadblock to teachability. And the answer is yes, absolutely. And the quote that you're referring to is the one that I actually took from my wife and put in that chapter on an unsustainable or unhealthy pace as a roadblock. And that is that everything, you know, good in our life grows in the margins of our life. And so when you and I get moving too fast through life, sure enough, inevitably, it's the margins of our life that start to shrink. And when the margins go down, sure enough, teachability goes down with it. Here's how I like to say it. When the pace of my life goes up, my teachability always goes down. A great illustration of that is a while back when I was writing the book a year or so ago, I was driving around Southwest Florida in the summer. And, of course, it's rainy season down here, which basically means from about 3 to 4:30 every day it's going to rain. Well, I had some running around, some errands to do, so I jumped in my car, and I was listening to a leadership podcast on my phone. And so I noticed something interesting. When I jumped in the car, back out of my driveway, and started to drive down my road, I realized, you know, it's pouring, just raining cats and dogs. And what I realized was it's impossible for me to white-knuckle, you know, hold onto the steering wheel and focus on driving my car for the next half mile and pay attention to what I'm trying to learn from the leadership podcast at the same time. I can't do both at the same time, try and survive because of my pace and try and grow and learn something new at the same time. And so that's a great illustration of how our pace and the busyness and hecticness of our life can actually be a hindrance to our getting better in our life.
Well, that maybe gives us an opportunity to transition into the second half of your book where you talk about the characteristics of teachability. And as we kind of mentioned before, teased it out, you look at the Apostle Paul's example. Why don't we just review some of those characteristics?
Yeah, well, again, what I did is I kind of looked across history and then, of course, the Bible as well and said, what are the characteristics of what you and I, you know, people that you and I would refer to as the most teachable people in the world? Like, oh, that guy is so teachable, or oh my goodness, she's so teachable. And I started to realize that there are five primary characteristics: an insatiable desire to learn and grow, an appropriate view of success, that teachable people, highly teachable people, know how to handle success successfully. And then on the other side of that, a flexible approach, or you know, to how to, they know how to handle failure as a third one. Then the last two are an openness to feedback and a flexible approach to life. In other words, they're flexible. They don't let big changes throw them and send them over the edge. They're able to adapt and be flexible in their life. Those are the five primary characteristics of some highly teachable people.
And, you know, give us maybe one or two from the life of the Apostle Paul to kind of help us next time we read, you know, his reading in the New Testament, and we come across maybe that passage, help us to sort of ground it in a little bit more.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. I mean, I think about the success thing. I mean, here's a guy who, as he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Like, I'm not sure you can get more successful than that. Like, are you kidding me? Like, the guy is still influencing gazillions of people today with his writings that he wrote, you know, in the pages of Scripture. And yet Paul himself wrote, you know, I am the chief of sinners. Like, I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. And, you know, he says, I treat all of my successes, even, you know, pre-Christ successes and accolades and trophies and, you know, awards that they wanted to give me and titles, I treat all of those things, he says, as dung, as manure in light of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And so here's a guy who understood, even though I'm successful, I'm not going to allow my success to hold me back from being teachable and becoming more like Jesus.
Because we probably all know, maybe a person or two comes to mind who has become successful, and it seems like they are no longer teachable.
Exactly. And that's the trick of success, because it's kind of a paradox, because the more teachable you are, the more success, however you define that, will come your way. But then the more success that comes your way, it threatens you to stop being as teachable as you were to become successful. So it's kind of this vicious cycle, you know, that, and we all can think of people who did that they were teachable, they were humble, they were, you know, had such a desire to learn and willingness to change. And then all of a sudden, a few accolades came their way and a couple promotions and a couple pay raises. All of a sudden, they got some success under their belt. And sure enough, you look up in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years and you go, that person's lost their teachability. And I would dare to say that what they've also lost is their ability to get better and proceed and continue to live at their full potential that God created them for.
So is it a matter of being open to feedback, which is, you know, what you address one of those five characteristics as well? Will that counteract that maybe that tendency of pride in success?
Yeah, without a doubt. In chapter 7, where I talk about success, you know, I give kind of three ideas right at the end of the chapter of how we maintain, you know, how we don't let success, you know, sabotage our teachability. And, you know, one of the things I talk about in there is moving from me to we. You know, the idea of a lot of times when we see success in or experience success in our life, you know, our human nature is to take all the credit. But the more we can kind of give that credit away and recognize that there's no such thing as a self-made man or woman, that, you know, we owe our success to others. And it's always a we game. It's never a me game. So I talk about that. I talk about being generous in our success, because, again, one of the other temptations when success hits our life is that we start to get inward focused and selfish. And so all we can see is my next thing or my next want. And so, you know, be generous. And then the third idea is recognizing that success is fragile and temporary. It's fragile and temporary. Almost all of us will be completely forgotten by our world in 100 years. You know, unless we're the president of the United States or someone else who, you know, is carving a name in history, which there are very few, if you will, in each generation, 100 years from now, no one will know who we are. Now, that's bad news on one sense, and that's good news on the other sense, because that allows us to keep our success in perspective. And so no matter how successful and front page headlines our life may look today, at some point we'll move from the front page to the middle of the newspaper to the back page news. And so keeping our success in terms of proper perspective is so important in handling our success well.
Well, those are the comments of Matt Keller, who's a pastor, author, speaker, and a leadership coach. He's located in Fort Myers. He's the founder and lead pastor of Next Level Church. And the book we referenced called The Key to Everything, Unlocking the Secret to Why Some People Succeed and Others Don't, And you can hear the full interview from that conversation by going to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. It's Connecting Faith at myfaithradio.com. And Ted, you know, all of us could stand to learn a little bit more, be a little more teachable, I think, all
That's
the time.
That's right. So, yeah, instead of being envious, just be open and seek God, and He'll give you the answers. That's good.
Well, you may want to find yourself a new Bible teacher. If you're new to Faith Radio, get into the habit of listening to the great relevant Bible preaching. Maybe it's Alistair Begg, or it's Chuck Swindoll, or it's David Jeremiah, whoever it might be. Just make a point to be listening on a regular basis and learn and grow in your faith, and then let us know how the station's making a difference in your life.
And if you missed any of those shows, they are posted at our website, myfaithradio.com. You can find the programs updated right there, myfaithradio.com.
Thanks so much for listening to Connecting Faith.